Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, 509. Oh, yeah. Mick Monagle here with you in the afternoon, filling in for Evan and Tiki and the gang. Was with Marash yesterday. Everybody's off for the weekend. Not us hustlers, right there, Paulie?
That's right,
that's
Chris.
That's right.
That's right, Chris. Not us. We work.
We work.
I mean,
I was just off for a week and a half in Disney, but hey, we work.
Right.
Pete's still here. Pete's on tonight, obviously. Be doing the overnights tonight, hanging out. We all know why.
Yes, we do.
Short turnaround. You got to actually get some rest instead of going home to madness. I get it. Believe me, I get it. I know what I'm in store for tonight, too. The kids had an ice cream social at school today, kind of like an introductory. You go there, they give you ice cream. Especially my youngest is going to kindergarten, so he's going to get the first taste of this new school, the room, meet the teacher, have a little ice cream. And apparently, that's a perfect transition into Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Paulie Rosenberg, you've made it.
My first ever Cinco de Fivo.
There we go.
It is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today.
Okay, let's just get into it. I was going to give you a whole preamble, but you know what? You're ready to go. So, Paulie, what did you decide is going to be our Cinco de Fivo here on this Friday heading into Labor Day weekend?
Heading into Labor Day weekend, the summer is wrapping up, and if you know me, you know my love for desserts and my love for sweets. So today, I decided to give you my top five ice cream flavors.
Okay, so not more specific, not just desserts, your top five ice cream flavors.
Top five ice cream flavors.
Okay.
Now, here we go!
Did you get exotic with it, or did you just go staples?
I tried to go staples, but I did mix in a few interesting flavors.
All right, let's go. Number five.
Here we go!
Number five.
Even though this isn't number five, this is my honorable mention, and I'm only doing this because I'm doing Cinco today. Honorable mention is Rocky Road.
Okay.
Which is one of the...
So it's not... You've added an addendum to the top five.
Because I'm doing it today. Okay. So I can add the addendum.
You certainly can.
Rocky Road, which is... No chocolate-based ice creams made my top five. So I figured it was important to get Rocky Road in there. Chocolate, marshmallow, nuts, smooth taste. And a quick history lesson. Rocky Road ice cream created during the Great Depression to bring comfort during turbulent times.
Is that so?
Yes, it is.
How about that?
That is so. So that's the honorable mention.
Okay.
The actual number five, Trader Joe's lemon shortbread ice cream.
Yeah, when I said were you going to get specific, you kind of like, well, I got some staples in there. You went with Trader Joe's lemon shortbread.
When life gives you lemons, God.
You make Trader Joe's lemon shortbread.
You make lemon ice cream out of it. And if you're a fan of lemon flavored sweets like I am, an incredible purchase, really good lemon flavor, totally overpowering. The texture from the shortbread, it's a nice mix from the smoothness of the ice cream in that. It's a really, really, really good taste.
That's a very specific. Trader Joe's, no less. Now, I don't think I've ever had lemon-flavored ice cream. Obviously, I've had, like, lemon sherbet or, like, when I think of it, honestly, because my in-laws own direct, like, I think of, like, lemon sherbet as kind of like an intermezzo, like, kind of the palate
cleanser.
It's
a palate cleanser, absolutely. Yeah.
I've never had, like, cream. Is it creamy? Like, ice cream?
Yes, it is actual.
I don't know if I've ever had lemon ice cream before.
It is very, very good. If you're a fan of lemon. Now, lemon is a very.
I've had frozen lemonade, frozen Italian ice, lemon Italian ice. I've never had lemon ice cream. I got to try that.
Number four.
Number four on the list is vanilla chip.
Okay.
A classic vanilla chip, or you can say chocolate chip, whatever one. It's really the same thing.
Right.
Gets the job done, the smooth vanilla bean taste with the crunch of the chocolate chip and the hint of the chocolate flavor from the chocolate chip.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with it. Just classic, can't go wrong.
Now, I know for a fact back, you know, during the Carton and Roberts days that both Craig and Evan were huge mint chocolate chip fans.
Yes, they were.
I disagree. I'm with you. I would much rather have the, like, I like mint chocolate chip. I'd rather have just the vanilla chocolate chip.
I got Craig and Evan ice cream from Trader Joe's multiple times.
I remember.
Multiple times I would walk over there
Vincent
to get them
Von
ice cream.
Vincent, I remember.
So, yeah, listen, there's nothing wrong with mint chip for me, but vanilla chip is another level.
Okay.
So that is your number four.
Number three.
Number three on the list is cinnamon ice cream.
What?
Now, it's a rare ice cream, tough to find.
Yeah, tough to find.
But it's very, very good. If you like cinnamon, you love it. It's not like a peppery burn, so it's not that. It's smooth. It's sweet. It's an oddly spicy taste, but it works. Cinnamon ice cream, I promise you, an incredible ice cream.
I can't think of something I'd not rather have in my life. Cinnamon flavored ice cream?
Cinnamon ice cream.
Just straight cinnamon, not like Cinnabon or straight cinnamon?
Cinnamon ice cream, it is so good. Ugh. Perhaps I might say life changing. It is that good, cinnamon ice cream. It's tough to find.
Yeah.
Supply chain issues, this, that, the other thing.
Supply chain issues. Nobody getting the supply and demand issues. That's the more like, who the hell, I've never even heard of it.
Cinnamon ice cream?
Just plain straight cinnamon.
Cinnamon ice cream.
Like cinnamon sticks on the brand.
On the outside of the packaging.
Yeah, just like a couple cinnamon sticks.
Couple cinnamon sticks. That's it.
I mean, never in my life. You are a strange person, man.
It's kind of like.
This is actually a really good Cinco de Five-O because it does, for anybody who cares, and I don't know why you would, but if you wanted to like get in depth into who Paulie is, this is actually really brilliant because he starts with like Trader Joe's specific weird ice cream, which fine, sounds fine, lemon cake or whatever, great. We all know to try the lemon cake when you go to Del Frisco. But cinnamon?
Cinnamon
that's
ice cream.
That's like, it's what you give like to punish dogs. Like, go ahead, continue. A little bit of cinnamon on something is fine, but just straight. Do you ever have a spoonful of cinnamon?
Helps the medicine go down.
It's disgusting. You can't even eat it.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Number two.
Number two on the list is coffee ice cream.
Okay. A different odd one, but I know people like coffee ice cream.
You can live off. Anybody, I'm convinced, can live off coffee ice cream. Balanced. It's not that overpowering with the coffee flavor, depending. You know, that straight Haagen-Dazs pint of coffee ice cream is great. Creamy, nice aftertaste. It's not that bitter, obviously.
Yeah.
And trivia question for you, does coffee ice cream have caffeine?
I would say no.
It does.
Oh, good for you.
It does. It's much a smaller dosage of caffeine than a cup of coffee, but coffee ice cream does have caffeine.
How about that?
And here we go.
Number one. I'm excited.
Number one.
Number one, the clear number one, it's a maple walnut. Maple walnut ice cream, and again, we've spoken about it the last 5 minutes now. Sweet guy, I like maple syrup, I like my sweets, I have sweets every day, I have a problem. And if you put them together for me, it's a slam dunk. Sometimes you have to go digging to find the good maple walnut ice cream that actually tastes like maple. Sometimes it's just like a sweet cream, it just tastes sweet with the walnut. But if you can find a good one that you can really taste that maple syrup and that maple flavoring in it, it's the way to go. And that, my friends, is Cinco de Five-O.
You're a strange guy. I've had maple walnut cream cheese. I haven't even like seen these flavors. Like you've got three, if you include the lemon cake. Lemon shortbread. And that's specific to Trader Joe's. I've never seen that. Now that's only because I've never heard of it. It's Trader Joe's specific, but again, on the list of top five, never heard of. I've never heard of cinnamon flavored ice cream. Never came up in a discussion. No one's ever said it. No one ever said, hey, did you ever see cinnamon ice cream? I know it's weird, but it exists. I have seen vomit flavored jelly beans, but I have never seen cinnamon ice cream. And maple walnut, I've never, like, it sounds like a flavor. I know there's cream cheese. It's not like crazy. I'm sure it's delicious. But where do you find this?
You've never heard of maple walnut ice cream?
I don't think so. Maple walnut?
Maple walnut.
I've never been to a place and maple walnut is on the.
It's very good. I've been getting maple walnut ice cream.
Where?
From one of my favorite ice cream spots in New York City. It's in Forest Hills, Queens. It's called Eddie's Sweet Shop.
Yeah.
I've been going there since I was a child. Okay. And they have a maple walnut. And my go-to order there is maple walnut, vanilla chip, banana split with vanilla syrup, rainbow sprinkles. It's out of control. But vanilla walnut is an incredible flavor. It's not made number one on my list, and my list, that's a tough list to crack.
It's a tough list to crack, no doubt. All right, I'm impressed in a way and scared in another. But good for you. I have to say, I was in Disney this last week. We had a ton of ice cream, including going to a place called Beaches and Cream, which is a restaurant. They serve food, too. The food was actually better than I thought. The food was good, great. But it's an ice cream parlor, and they have a thing there called the kitchen sink, which is just like, you know, big thing ice cream, right? And it's supposed to be somewhat of a challenge or whatever. And We went there, and I'm thinking, okay, we'll order the kitchen sink. It'll be fun. You know, the kids will have some. I'll have some. We're sitting there eating our meal or ordering our meal, and all of a sudden, the lights go out. The sirens come up, and someone comes out and's like, somebody ordered the kitchen sink with 18 scoops of ice cream and a whole can of whipped cream. And then the whole restaurant replies with, the whole can? And they brought it out, and no joke, they couldn't even carry it. It takes two people to carry it. And I was like, I can't order that. I have, like, there's a couple things, too.
How much was it, by the way?
I forget.
Okay.
Probably like 40 bucks.
I'm assuming 40 or 50 bucks.
Yeah, 40 bucks.
Okay.
It's like 13 scoops of ice cream, 14 scoops of ice cream, you know, bananas, cherries, whipped cream, all kinds of stuff. Wet nuts. But I have a thing with food. And I've talked about it before. Like, I can't be the first one to go up and get a sandwich at a Super Bowl party or, like, things like that. Like, I know it's, like, my own neuroses of being made fun of for my weight my entire life. But, like, the idea of, like, being the first person to go get, like, the sandwich of the six-foot hero when someone puts it down and says, all right, guys, ready for food. Like, I can't be the first one to go up there because it makes a spectacle of a fat kid, and I can't do it. The idea that I would have a tub of ice cream brought to me where the lights go out, the sirens start, and I got a whole restaurant going, you're going to eat a whole can of whipped cream? Like, I can't do it. I was like, sorry, nope. We are not getting it.
More importantly than the kitchen sink, how many pineapple Dole Whips did you have?
Oh, I only had one.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a bad job by you.
I know. Well, we didn't stay at the Pineapple Dole Whip Hotel, the Polynesian. And
aren't they scattered around Disney, though?
Yeah, not about scattered all around. There's places you can get it. And we got it right in Magic Kingdom, right out. It's like right by the Aladdin ride. It was a drink. It was pineapple. It was actually half pineapple, half coconut.
Great ice cream, by the way.
Can I finish my story?
Yeah.
Thank you. Half coconut a Dole Whip with half pineapple Dole Whip with pineapple juice in the bottom of the cup. It was tremendous.
Oh, that sounds incredible.
It hit the spot. It was unbelievable.
It's like almost like a dessert pina colada.
Very much so.
Right?
Very much so.
Pineapple coconut ice cream from Haagen-Dazs, really, really good too.
Yeah. You're weird with the flavors. 888-808-1019. My favorite is pistachio. And I had, in Disney Springs, the best pistachio gelato I've ever had in my life. And you knew it was going to be good when it came out and it was brown. It wasn't that fake green stuff. It was a nice brown-colored pistachio. It was delicious. But it led to the worst moment of the trip because my son, first of all, the gelato was, it was in a stand at the Disney Springs. And while it was delicious, the price was just absurd. I'm not going to even say what it was. For two scoops of ice cream, it was ridiculous. But my son gets the chocolate. I get the, and he insists on it in a waffle cone, which, by the way, was $1.50 extra. But he insists on it in a waffle cone. And I'm like, buddy, just put it in a cup. It's hot. We're walking. You're not, it's going to be dripping all over the place. Plus, when you lick it, just please get it in a cup. No, I want it in a cone. We get in a cone. I'm eating my pistachio. As soon as I eat it, I'm like, wow, this is delicious. Start eating it. 2 seconds later, I hear it. I hear it hit the floor, and then I hear the immediate, oh, like that. That was the noise I got. Oh, and I didn't even want to turn around because I knew what I was going to be turning around to. And sure enough, there he is with chocolate around the mouth and the ice cream head first on the floor, looking at me like, you know you're getting me another one. And I'm like, I'm not. I told you. I told you to put it in a cup. You insisted on the cone. I'm not getting you another one. I'm not getting you another one. Please, this is not fair. I'm like, no, this is the definition of fair. He's like, well, give me yours. I'm like, now that would be unfair. I didn't drop my ice cream. You dropped yours. If you dropped yours and I gave you mine, that's not fair. The person who dropped their ice cream loses their ice cream. That's fair. And we're going back and forth about what fair is until my wife comes out and says, I'm not listening to it. Go buy him another ice cream. And I'm like, you said so.
Now,
life lessons at Disney.
Now, you keep mixing this up. Was it ice cream or gelato?
Gelato. Same thing.
No.
Gelato, ice cream. I understand what you're saying. I know there's a difference. It was gelato.
I spent 20 minutes about the difference between ice cream and gelato on a show three months ago.
888-808-1019. Not this one.
Agreed.
All right. I'm just saying. It's gelato. It's ice cream. You know what I meant.
No, because you kept changing it.
Telling the story when I was talking to my son. I didn't make the distinction to allow him to, because I would have said gelato. He'd been like, what? I mean, like ice cream. It's ice cream.
It's almost as bad as the singles debate.
No, it's not. 888, that was much, much worse.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
All right, 533.
If you're not into yoga.
Paul making his presence felt.
If you have
If you'd like making love at midnight. Who doesn't?
In the doom.
Midnight, noon, what's the difference, right?
I'm the love that you've looked for.
I heard Willie Colon talking about a little day... Little afternoon delight this morning. Nothing wrong with that. 888-808-1019. I'm not sure where we are. Let's just go back to the phones and forget this whole thing happened. We're coming to you live from Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. But yes, my son got a second heaping of expensive chocolate gelato because, hey, we're on vacation and I want to enjoy myself and not listen to how things are fair, unfair. Don't judge me. Let's go to Pat in Myrtle Beach. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Chris. Great to hear from you.
Oh, thank you.
It was funny.
You,
we were in the. I'm down here in Myrtle from Greenwich.
I was
visiting my daughter.
I was just in there.
I heard a couple weeks ago, right?
I was just in the Myrtle Beach area. Yeah, my uncle had retired there like recently, like 6 months ago. But as we were driving down to Disney, we just stopped and checked in on him, hung out for a few nights, went to. Went out to a bar, played a little trivia, played a little mini golf, had a good time.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's a great place. So I brought with me 5 pints of Van Leeuwen's because they don't have Van Leeuwen's here. So it's funny because I just told my daughter and we turned on the show and heard you talking about ice cream. So I wanted to share my flavors.
Okay, well, I have to admit, and I don't want to be... are you saying Van Leeuwen's?
That's correct. It is. Founded in Brooklyn in 2008. It's like a micro brew of ice cream.
Yeah.
Once you go there, you can't go back.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's like unedible.
Yeah. I feel like now that I looked it up and I've definitely seen, I feel like I've seen that the emblem, like I've seen the packaging, but I don't think I've ever had it.
See, when you were talking pistachio, I thought you were talking Van Leeuwen's because that's one of their signature flavors.
Yeah.
Carvel?
Yeah, I grew up next to a Carvel. Yeah, Carvel.
Yeah, that's our go-to.
Yeah, but Van Leeuwen's.
Van Leeuwen's.
I'm just gonna let you go, Pat. Go ahead, talk for a little bit.
Okay, I apologize.
That's
so
okay.
Since I was bringing the ice cream for them, I forego my favorite flavors. I brought cherry chocolate chip for my wife, black cherry chocolate chip for my wife,
right?
Mint chip for my daughter, strawberry for my other daughter. My favorite is one called Honeycomb, which is a little bit of a misnomer. It's actually like a vanilla ice cream with hard caramel chocolate bits or candy bits in it.
Sure.
It's delicious. And then the final was I just wanted the classic cookies and cream.
Yep.
My personal favorites are praline butter cake and, mint chip and honeycomb. The other night I had 3 pints. 3 pints.
Wow.
It's like to die for.
You like your ice cream, Pat. I guess, you know, Myrtle Beach is a good place to go enjoy the hot weather and play some golf and eat some praline cookie crisp.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Interesting. Now, we do like praline flavored stuff. We got that from New Orleans, though. I feel like me and my wife went down to our mini moon. We just spent a couple days in New Orleans right after our December wedding. And everything is praline down there, which, by the way, another thing I don't want to, you know, upset people with, because I know Disney fans, like, love everything Disney. But the new beignets for the... You know what a beignet is?
Beignet.
Beignet? Is it beignet?
Beignet. What you get from Café Du Monde in New Orleans?
Yes.
That's a beignet.
Yeah, beignet. I know that.
Beignet.
I said beignet. Incorrectly. You're right. I knew I was wrong when I said it, but I did
yes,
say
you
it.
Did.
I did say it. You saw the face. I was like, beignet? No. Beignet.
Wait, what's the story?
The one for the Disney came out with the new wrong for Tiana's Bayou, the new ride there that replaced Splash Mountain, which was a good ride. We enjoyed it a lot, but like I guess like there's like a food stand near it that was selling like the specialty beignets that go with it, and they were kind of hollow inside. They weren't very good.
I mean, a beignet in theory is just a zeppole.
Yeah, so pretty much. It's like fried dough. It is, yeah. But it's just, they weren't that good. Let's get to Charlie and Bethpage. What's up, Charlie? How are you?
I'm all right, C-Mac. Glad you had a good time in Florida with the kids.
Thank you.
And how's my favorite football player out of Nassau County and Cary High School? How you been? Good summer?
I'm good, yes. Thank you, Charlie. I'm glad to know I'm your favorite Cary High School football player. I appreciate that. Yes. And you're the one, Charlie, you're the one who has a relationship with Coach Aiello, right?
Yeah. Coach Aiello. Coach Stanley's the football coach now, but back in your day, it was Matt McLeish was your coach.
Correct, so. Yes. Matt McLeish was my head coach, correct. But Aiello was an assistant coach. But I've told the story about how he appeared during
you told it that night. It was hysterical.
Yeah, during a bench press, he was helping me during the bench press. He was my spotter, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, but a drip of sweat right off his chin landed right in my mouth. I almost dropped the bench press right on me. It was disgusting. But yes, Coach Aiello's a good dude, other than that moment. That wasn't his fault, but it happened.
Funny part about that, Jimmy Jochman heard you that night, your coach.
Coach Jochman. Yeah, I know.
He heard that. He was hysterical when he told that story. He was right there in the weight room with you guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, I made a stink of it. It was pretty disgusting. And it was like right as I was, you know, I'm in the middle of lifting weight, and it went right into my mouth. And I saw it, too. Like, the angle you have, like, I watched it in slow motion go right into my mouth. It was disgusting. But anyway, yes. I'm good. The trip was great. Thank you for asking. You're quite the gentleman. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. But just to talk about my Mets.
Yes.
Yesterday was a real gut check yesterday. I was happy with that. But, you know, it still depresses me when we lose that game in San Diego. We throw that one away. And then the Arizona game. If they want to, listen, they have a lot of heart. But if you want to be a playoff team and talk a game, you got to win those games. You cannot lose those games.
Yeah.
That's what separates
Charlie, and thank you so much for the call. I'm 100% with you. Now, look, yesterday was a great bounce-back win, right? I mean, Peterson's been great. He's been unbelievable this year since coming back from the injury. Iglesias, I mean, what he means to you, obviously Lindor as well with the home run, Iglesias with the big hit. And then Diaz bounces right back, relies pretty much strictly on his fastball and gets through the inning. And you take 2 out of 3. Against Arizona, and you go through a tough stretch and play pretty well against Baltimore and Tampa and Arizona and obviously San Diego. They played well, but here's the issue. And this is what I said yesterday and what I'll say today. Yes, the Braves lost yesterday, but I trust the Braves. The Braves are a difficult team to catch. And if you are going to catch them, if you are going to do this and pull this off and get into the postseason, you can't blow the game you blew against Arizona. I know that seems unfair. And 2 out of 3 heading in might have made you feel okay. And now you're playing the White Sox, which, by the way, is, in my opinion, the worst possible thing you can do as a team and a fan base right now, because there is no room for error. You cannot lose the game. They are still a Major League Baseball team, despite having 104 losses or whatever it is, despite being one of the worst, if not the worst team we've ever seen. Baseball's baseball, and things happen. And with these games, the amount of pressure that you feel as a fan watching these games against this miserable team sucks. I hate it. Because the Mets can't lose a game. Hell, you can't be losing. You're going to be all pissed off. It is miserable to play the White Sox. I know you're going to probably win bare minimum 2 out of 3. Anything less than that is an absolute disaster. But where the Mets are, and unfortunately, people go, oh, you're negative on the Mets, but the Yankees. Well, the Yankees are a game up in first place and 10 games up in the playoffs. As frustrated as we might be at different times, they're in a different situation, unfortunately, for the Mets. The Mets are chasing a team that's won the division how many years in a row? Team is chasing a team that won the World Series a handful of years ago. A team that's proven. And they're 3 games behind, and it could have been 2 games. And unfortunately, as much as, yes, this team has shown resilience. And I like the manager, and I like the team, and I thought they were a shoo-in for a playoff spot, you know, the last time they played the Braves, since we're talking about the Braves, and they were about to, you know, take 3 of 4, and they ended up not being able to accomplish that. And they were battling for the first wild card position. Now they're 3 games back of the last wild card. And as much as that was a big bounce-back win, and now they're heading on to play with a team that they should sweep, theoretically, even though baseball's just not like that. There's no guaranteed sweeps. you can't lose games like you lost the other night. If you have a lead and you have your closer on the mound, you can't lose them right now. And I know that's unfair and it's not realistic, but nor is catching the Braves four games back heading into yesterday. If you want to win this thing, if you want to catch them, you can't have slip-ups. That's where the Mets have put themselves. That's where they are. And so as much as, yeah, I respect the hell out of the team to bounce back like that and to fight and claw and take 2 out of 3 against a team that was on a 6-game winning streak heading into the series and to play against 3 of the better teams in baseball and to come away with a winning record after that 10-game spot and to go 8-6, whatever they did. 6-4, excuse me, in a 10-game series. Great. Under normal circumstances, that's great. The Mets aren't in normal circumstances. The Mets have 27, 28 games left. They're chasing a team that's been to the playoffs 6 or 7 consecutive years, won the division 5 or 6 consecutive years, and are a consistently good team this time of the year where they caught you 2 years ago when you had your best season in forever with 101 wins. They still managed to catch you then. This is a group and a team that consistently plays well down the stretch of seasons. And if you want to catch them, unfortunately, blowing games where you have the lead in the 8th inning ain't going to cut it. So now, they're not eliminated. I'm certainly not calling them dead, as I did earlier in the year, ironically enough, when they were playing the Diamondbacks. They're still in it, and I expect them to battle and fight and make this thing an actual battle, and I expect them to be in it until the very end. But here's the thing. I have too much respect for the Braves to say it's okay to blow that game as long as you win the next day. Unfortunately, you needed that sweep. And you need to win all these games. Because I know the Braves are playing the Phillies. They lost to the Phillies yesterday. We'll see what happens. I respect the team. Lindor's unbelievable. You're getting these, you know, Bader with the big home run. They battle back. Even in the game they lost, they battle back from 4-0. Like, they have really played well, and they've shown you toughness and guts. And I think they have a real manager. But It's a hard hill to climb, and there's no more room for slip ups like the other day. Mike in Parkland, Florida, what's up, Mike?
Chris, how you doing? First time, long time.
Oh, thank you for making the call, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, I miss you on the overnight. I used to listen to you all through the night. I have a problem sleeping, so I really enjoyed listening to you.
Well, I'll be back. You've only missed me for 2 weeks. I'll be back on Tuesday morning.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hey, I wanted to get into, I know Sunday is when rosters expand and they go up two spots, one pitcher, one position player. Alex Verdugo, you know, now we're at a point where starting September 1st, if they were to release him, if he's picked up by another team, he's no longer playoff eligible, correct?
I don't know if that's correct, no. I don't know for sure. If
I think you have to be on the roster, on the 40-man roster as of the 31st.
Yeah, I think that sounds right, but for some reason I'm trying to think of the rule with players recently released. I have to double-check that. You might be right. Okay. I'm not positive.
But regardless, okay, I mean, Jason Dominguez...
But that doesn't... But let me interrupt you for a second. But that doesn't matter. I'm not worried about having him get picked up by a playoff team and coming back to haunt me or something like that. That's the furthest thing from my mind on releasing Verdugo. But go ahead. I get your point.
And Verdugo's going through statistically the worst year of his career.
No doubt.
I mean, that's undebatable. I'm looking at his numbers.
Not even close.
Every facet of his game is the worst that he's ever performed. And you know, the reason the Yankees brought him in there was to provide him a consistent left-handed hitting
outfield
at bat 280.
Yep.
So Verdugo serves his point, you know, his purpose at this point in my mind, because we brought him in to cover the period while Dominguez was injured. Dominguez is now past the point where it's going to cost him a year of eligibility.
Yep.
So I don't understand the logic, other than Aaron Judge was a big proponent of bringing in Verdugo.
Yeah.
And that might be the reason why Boone is so hesitant to make the move to Dominguez. Do you think Dominguez gets called up on Sunday? Do you think we have so many players that are on the injured list that are coming off, including Rizzo? Obviously, Rice will go down when Rizzo comes up.
Yep.
And then from a pitching standpoint, we have a multitude of guys that can be DFA'd in order to bring up guys that were more proven. But just, is there a lane? Is there really a lane for Dominguez? Are the Yankees going to really miss the opportunity to let Soto mentor Dominguez for a month given that this might be the only month they are ever together?
Yeah, I don't think that. I'm not too worried about that.
Aren't they countrymen? Didn't they both come from the same place?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not worried about making sure I get a month with Juan Soto. I mean, he was in spring training with him for a while. I don't necessarily. I mean, I know he wasn't hitting; he was still recovering from the injury. But he spent some time around him. But I don't view it as, oh, I got to do it for that reason. Like, that's, you want to mention it as the 17th reason I want Dominguez up here. Fine. Yeah. Here's my point. I honestly don't know. Verdugo has been terrible. What scares me a little bit is Verdugo's got 8 hits in his last 5 games. And that's since noticing that his, or figuring out that his batting gloves he's allergic to, which is hard to imagine. I don't know how they're going to treat him. Now, listen,
6-7 years,
Ben Rice goes down when Rizzo comes up, no doubt. If they want to bring back John Birdie, I think they should bring up John Birdie and designate, you could always send down Oswaldo Cabrera, but I would designate DJ LeMahieu for assignment. I would just,
they're not going to designate LeMahieu. They're not going to eat $30 million.
Yeah, I don't think that's the. Maybe I'm naive. I think
what they're going to do is they're going to phantom injury the guy and then bring him back in spring training and see if he figured it out.
Yeah, I don't know if they can phantom injury the guy. I don't think the eating of the $30 million is the issue. Maybe I'm naive. I just don't think it is. I think they are still waiting because they don't have a. They don't think Oswaldo Cabrera is a game changer, and they don't have one right now, so they're willing to ride. They have a one game. They have a 1.5 game lead in the playoffs. They're secure in their division. They're securely in the playoffs, and they still believe that there's a chance they could get the best of DJ LeMahieu, which is a game changer compared to what the best of Oswaldo Cabrera is. Like, I think that's it. I don't think it's, oh, how do I eat $30 million? Like, I really don't think that's it.
You just can't get the ball off the ground anymore. Isn't it like 52%
on the ground? I'm with you. I'm just telling you, I think that's what they think. Like, you know, we heard it in spring training how he looks great. He looks this, he looks that. Like, I'm with you that it's over, but I find it hard to believe that they care about the $30 million. I don't think that's it. I think it's more of just a stubbornness that they still believe in this guy, and they don't have an option that's clearly better, and they view it as, I'm going to ride this as long as I can until I know for a fact DJ can't help us. Because, again, who's going to play? Like, there's no room for him. Barring an injury, where's he going to play? DJ LeMahieu is not, we're all wringing our hands about it. DJ LeMahieu is not playing in the playoffs. Rizzo's your first baseman. Chisholm is your third baseman. Glaber is your second baseman. That's it. Barring an injury, he's not going to play. Even against left-handed pitching, I don't think they would do it. Even against left-handed pitching, I don't think they would do it.
On the subject of Jazz, only because you just mentioned him briefly.
Yeah.
Any concerns about him at third base when the postseason comes around? About how he's never played the position before and how you handle if he doesn't know what to do?
No, I mean, I think yes, but not enough where it justifies not playing him.
Okay, so it's not
his offense and his athleticism and what he is and what he brings to the team is much more important. You got to just live with it at third base. That's why they're still playing DJ in some parts of it, because they believe with him at third and Torres at second, you need a good first baseman. And the arm strength of, even though Volpe's been very good defensively for the most part, the one weakness in his game is a little bit of arm strength. You have to make sure you have someone at first base who can play first base. Oswaldo Cabrera's played 7 games in his career at first base.
Right.
They view DJ LeMahieu as the better first base option. They don't have a choice but to play Jazz Chisholm at third.
Right.
So,
I mean, I guess if it gets really bad, can LeMahieu play third?
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
but
of course.
But I wonder if that's another reason why they wouldn't do anything with DJ.
Yeah, but Oswaldo Cabrera's been great. They have no problem playing Oswaldo Cabrera at third base. It's first base. That's the reason. And I mean, I guess against left-handed pitching, is there a chance they play him at first base? I would be very surprised if they give this whole season of DJ LeMahieu and then continue to play him at first base against left-handed pitching. I would be shocked. But if that happens, I'll scream about it then. I don't think DJ LeMahieu is going to be on this team for long. And as far as Jason Dominguez, I just don't know if they're ready to, I mean, Verdugo's been that bad. I just don't know if they think, like, they view, and as much as this might not make sense to us, you just mentioned, the caller just mentioned, Verdugo's having the worst year of his career. Verdugo has been a proven, slightly above average, not an all-star, not a great player, but a legitimate league average player offensively his entire career. Jason Dominguez has played 2 weeks. As great as those 2 weeks were, as high a touted prospect as he is, as much as he's done fairly well, he's had his times of playing really well and times of playing really poorly in AAA. But as much as he's shown promise, I don't know if the Yankees weigh the 2 weeks of last year over the entire career of still the middle of his prime for Dugo. I just don't know how the Yankees view it. That one I don't know. DJ LeMahieu, I think they are waiting till the very last second until they can't play him anymore to see if they can get him going, even though it's stupid. That's how I view what they're thinking with DJ LeMahieu. But ultimately, they will not play DJ LeMahieu. They have other options. I don't know how they view Verdugo versus Dominguez. I really don't. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do. That one I can't tell you I have a good read on. I don't. Is Verdugo finally going to be the average left-handed contact hitter gamer that they viewed him as? And that he's been for almost all of his entire major league career? Or do they want to get the switch hitting prospect who had an unbelievable 2 weeks last year? I don't know how they view it.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.